Career experts like to say there's no such thing as job security, but there is employment security. Hi, I'm Rob West. Having employment security means always sharpening your skills. And part of that is preparing for your next job interview so you can be relaxed, confident, and ready for anything. I'll tell you how to do it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, despite fears of a coming recession, employers are still hiring and there are still more jobs than workers. There's no better time to try for that dream job you've always wanted. But just because the labor market's in your favor doesn't mean you can go into an interview unprepared. If it's an in-person interview, of course, you want to dress well and have a neat appearance. If it's a video interview, as more and more are these days, that still applies. But there's more to getting a remote interview off to a good start. Choose a setting in your home that's quiet so you won't be disturbed. Make sure the background is well organized and uncluttered. Keep your pets out of the room. You don't want your cat climbing up in your lap during the interview. Now, it's when the interview begins that preparation will really pay off because you'll probably be asked some tough questions. But these are often standard and you should be ready for them. Keep in mind, interviewers don't want to trip you up. They ask tough, thoughtful questions, hoping you'll give a good answer. One of the most common questions is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Don't try to be clever by saying, I'd like to have your job. That's a good way to eliminate yourself from the running. Instead, use the 5-year question as an opportunity to show that you're motivated to do good work and succeed. It's okay to say you'd like to be in a different position than the one you're applying for, maybe one that gives you more responsibility and a chance to grow professionally. For example, maybe your career field has different levels of proficiency that require more certifications. You can talk about how you'd like to obtain them and how that extra training will help the company. Here's another tricky question you may be asked. Why do you want to leave your current job? Here's where a lot of applicants get tripped up. Always speak well of your current employer. It'll let the recruiter know you're loyal and grateful for the opportunities you've been given. Never say something like you're looking for a shorter commute or a better health plan. The recruiter will think you'll probably leave this job for a similar reason. Instead, keep it positive. Give a few reasons why your current company is a great place to work, but your employer isn't able to give you the opportunity to be a more valuable employee. You can then talk about your career goals and how you want to contribute more. If you're asked, what's your greatest weakness? Be honest, but try to turn the conversation in a positive direction, even if it's about a weakness. For example, you might say, I sometimes tend to say yes when I'm already maxed out work-wise. You can turn that positive by showing how you're learning to set priorities and then give an example. That way, you make it about your strengths. Whatever weakness you choose to answer with, show how you're working to overcome it. Another question you need to prepare for is, why should I hire you? Don't say, because I'm a hard worker or I have people skills. Those things are far too general and they're assumed. You need to be a lot more specific. Talk about how hiring you would be good for the company in precise ways. Go over your resume in advance and highlight 3 things you've done to make an operation more efficient, increase revenue, or reduce overhead for your current company or ministry. Do some research ahead of time so you're able to point out how those skills will help with a new company. Finally, the most important preparation you can do is pray. Ask the Holy Spirit for the right words to say. Meditate on Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Proverbs 3:5-6 is another helpful passage. It reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. I'm confident the Lord has just what you're looking for. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. You can call that number 24/7, 800-525-7000. And before we take our first break, let me also remind you, there's a great wealth of resources resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. You'll find more about the FaithFi app, which can help you manage your budget and stay on track. You'll find all of our great content, and you can jump into the FaithFi community. Post your questions, get answers, and help another steward along the way. Again, it's all at faithfi.com. Stick around, much more to come just around the corner.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There's an old hymn written in 1836 that speaks powerfully to our security as believers in the Lord. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Christ, the solid rock, an image of His strength to be sure. More than that for us, it is an image of protection. In the words of Psalm 11:1, we can flee to our mountain, our rock, like a sparrow in flight. Why? Because the Lord is our refuge. When the world around us breaks down, He remains. We go to Him when we need shelter, and we find Him always. His eye is on the sparrow, us, and we know He'll protect our souls. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Perhaps there's a financial conundrum you've been wrestling with in your life that you'd like to put before the FaithFi community. I'd love to weigh in on it, bring godly wisdom from His Word to bear in your financial situation. We'll apply the principles from Scripture to whatever you're dealing with today. Again, the number 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, let's begin today in Vermont. Martin, thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, sir. I appreciate it. My question is, for many years, my dad would ask me to sign a document. It was once a year. And the only thing I remember about the document was on there somewhere, it said irrevocable trust. Never thought much about it, but my dad passed 2 years ago, 2021, and my mom, she is still living. She is 89 years old. I guess my question is twofold. One, I don't really know what an irrevocable trust is. I did a little research and couldn't find an answer that I understood. And two, what will ultimately be the outcome of this this document that I signed and all that that entails? So if you're able to help me understand, I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to give you some general thoughts. And what you may end up wanting to do is just connect with a godly estate attorney to go over your specific trust or this trust of your parents. Basically, an irrevocable trust is a legal instrument, and the intent is to remove the assets from the control of the grantor, the person that created the trust. In this case, that's your father. There's different types of irrevocable trusts that do different things. And again, they're all out of the grantor's control because by nature, it's irrevocable. It can't be changed. Were you designated as the trustee, perhaps?
I don't really know. I don't know that I've got three brothers and sisters, and so I'd assume that it was kind of equally divided, but I don't know anything more about that. I don't know that answer.
Yeah, and it may be equally divided, but there is usually one trustee. There can be co-trustees, but usually one trustee named that would be the person that would help to facilitate the distribution of the assets according to the how it's outlined in the irrevocable trust. So usually there's assets that are designated and they're transferred to a beneficiary or beneficiaries based on certain conditions or timing. And the trustee is the one who facilitates that. It could be an individual trustee, like a family member or friend. It could also be an attorney, or it could be a corporate trustee as well. And there can be co-trustees, both an individual and a corporation, in some cases. But, the big idea is that it's removing these assets from the grantor's taxable estate, and the ownership is then transferred to the trust permanently. And it's typically done for either asset protection or to reduce federal estate taxes. But, you know, that really doesn't come into play unless you have a pretty sizable estate, because you don't have any inheritance or estate tax until you get over $12 million for the estate. So what might be interesting is just to, take this trust to an attorney, or visit with the person who set it up, the attorney that set it up, just to understand what was the purpose, given the fact that you were signing on this annually. It seems like from your notes here, perhaps you are the trustee, and that might be the reason why you had to sign something. So I would check the documents to see what law firm set up the trust, and then perhaps set up a visit, either by phone or in person, to get more details on this specific one, and perhaps the role that you need to play in it.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Thank you so much for your help, Rob.
Well, you're welcome, Martin, and thank you for calling and for listening to the program. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have a few lines open today for your financial questions. I'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about today. Plus, if you have a story, maybe a testimony of how God's been at work in your financial life, you'd like to share that with us, you can do that as well. 800-525-7000. To Tennessee. Hi, Will. Go right ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Hi there.
I'm recently retired. I'm still young, and currently I draw a pension and an annuity supplement, and I have my 401k. So, and it's primarily in a CD rate with 5% of it in stocks, and I'm just trying to. I work side jobs since I've retired the first of the year, and just trying to figure out where to go with, should I move it into more stocks, a higher percentage stocks, or leave it in the CD rate? So I don't plan to draw out of it as long as I can.
Yeah, very good. And specifically what you're asking about, Will, is the TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you have, as you know, a number of options in the TSP. You've got the G, the F, the C, the S, and the I. You know, the G fund is that government security fund that is going to be the most safe. And then you've got some stock options, both small cap and large cap. And you've got an international option for foreign stocks. And then you've got a bond option in there as well. You know, in terms of a high level approach on this TSP, you know, at age roughly 60, I think, you know, based on the fact people are living longer, we use this rule of thumb of 110 minus your age to determine, you know, what portion should be in stocks. If you did that at age 60, you'd find that typically folks will be in a 50-50 mix between stocks and bonds. You know, and then as you get older, you reach age 70, you might drop that to 40 stocks and then 80-30 stocks. You could be a little bit more conservative, drop that by 10 and go 100 minus your age. If you did that, you'd come out with a 40% allocation to stocks and then 30, 20, 10 every decade, drop that down. The idea behind it is that, you know, we need to keep a portion of this growing. And the way you do that is through that stock allocation, especially if you're in a position where, you know, given Social Security at some point, plus this pension and, you know, the fact that you're continuing, I think you mentioned you're continuing to work at least part time, you know, the longer you can delay touching this, plus the fact that, you know, as we live longer in this country, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you need this money to last for decades. And that's going to give you a growth component. I also think, given that you've been on the sideline with the vast majority, I think you said 95% in cash, you know, this is a pretty interesting and perhaps compelling entry point to the market. Even if you did it over the next 6 months, let's say your goal was to get between 40 and 50% in stocks. And again, you've got to make that call and you may want to be on the more conservative end. But whatever that allocation is, you could, you know, perhaps do, you know, 1/6 of that every month for the next 6 months. And that way, you know, as we head into what most economists think are going to be a recession, let's say we were to retest our last October lows from 2022, which is a pretty good chance we will if we hit a recession. That way you're buying in at a discount and then you get the benefit of enjoying the recovery. But I think the key is taking a long time horizon on all of it. So I've got to take a quick break here, but I'd love to get your thoughts on all of that. So let's do this. You stay right there, Will. And just on the other side of this, I'd love to get your take on it. Lynn, we're coming your way as well. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
The tornadoes that twisted across parts of the Midwest and Mid-South left an aftermath of overwhelming destruction and grief. Now, chaplains from the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team are there in the midst of the devastation, sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ with those who are suffering. God is at work. You can find out how on Facebook. Search for Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, sharing hope in crisis.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got about two lines open, perhaps one just for you. Before the break, we were talking to Will. He's 58 years old, recently retired from the federal government, sitting on a TSP plan, thrift savings plan, that he's hopeful not to use for some time, wants to know how to invest it. He's got 95% in cash currently and just wondering if he should make a change to that, not drawing anything out of it. Given what I said, Will, about perhaps thinking in terms of maybe 40 to 50% in stocks, at least for now, and then getting more conservative over time, and then whatever that allocation to stocks is and the rest bonds, maybe moving into that allocation over the next 6 months to take advantage of probably what we expect to be a retesting of the last October market lows as we head into a recession, but then enjoying with a long time horizon the recovery over the next, you know, several decades, which hopefully that's how long this money will last. Give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I really appreciate the advice. I was wondering, though, should I move that into the C, the F, or the I fund, or a mix of the three as far as stocks go?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I would have a mix of the three. You know, we think international is going to outperform domestic here this year. But, you know, the stocks move in cycles. And so that, you know, maybe this year and then, you know, we'll see something different next year. So I would say whatever that stock portion is, I would balance it between the large cap, the small cap, and the international, and then put the balance in the bond fund, and you'll have all of those options available to you.
Oh, into the bond fund.
So let's say that you decided to go with a 50-50 allocation. You would probably want to take and for the stock portion, I would put that, what, let's say that was 50%. I'd mix it among those three stock fund options. And then for the remainder, I'd put it into that bond fund or a balance between the bond fund and the G fund. But I'd probably skew more toward the fixed income fund because bonds are going to perform really well once the Fed's done raising rates. Now that interest rates are higher, you'll get a nice yield and then you'll get some growth in the underlying prices of the bonds as rates fall, probably later this year into next year. So whatever that stock allocation is, the balance I would probably put into the F fund. The other option you could go with is a life cycle fund, which kind of takes all of this out of the equation. And you basically just, you know, in your case, you could pick like a 2030 fund, and then it would just automatically do it for you. Those are the L funds. But if you wanted to do it yourself and have a little more control over it, I'd take the approach I described initially.
Very good. Well, that is great advice. Thank you so much for all that. And I'm definitely going to put that into work real soon.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your call today, Will. Listen, all the best to you in this next season of life. We appreciate you checking in with us, sir. God bless you. To Oregon. Hi, Lynn. How can I help you today?
Hi, good morning. My car that I had for 22 years finally died. The engine did. So I am forced to be looking at a different car. I've looked at used and they're so expensive. Mm-hmm. I'm almost thinking now to go towards new because they do come with the new car, 36,000 miles, 3-year warranty. So that's one question, kind of your thoughts on that. Normally, I've always bought used. And then is it worth it to get an extended warranty with these cars that have so much electronics on them? The problem with that I see is you're overlapping because if you buy it when it's new, the first 3 years is covered by the manufacturer. So you're double covered there and then you can extend it by another 2 years. But that's probably $4,000, $3,500 to get that extended warranty. And then yes. If you do suggest an extended warranty, do you have a source to go to that you prefer?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, a lot there. And I think, you know, it's got to start with your budget first, Lynn, and just you understanding even before you start looking at makes and models and shopping, what can I actually afford? And the goal being to borrow as little as possible and try to buy it with, you know, cash if you can, and you may not be able to do that for this one. And if not, you know, once you pay it off, keep making that payment to yourself. Hopefully we can get to that place. But regardless, I think you've got to start with your budget and say, okay, how much can I spend? Then we start looking at the make and model that you like, and you want to put that through a kind of reliability test as well as, and this is where research comes in, and safety, of course. And then start looking at, am I going to buy new or used? You know, used cars have been very expensive just because of what's been going on in the new car market. But as those inventories on the new cars rebuild, and they are because we're getting past some of the chip shortages and some of the supply chain issues that resulted from the pandemic, we're seeing new car prices come down. And beyond that, we'll start to see used car prices come down, although it hasn't hit used cars as much as it has the new cars yet in terms of the prices stabilizing and even coming down. So I think, you know, there's a case to be made for buying new, especially if you're a buy and hold type of, you know, person. That's the approach we typically take. We buy them and drive them till the wheels fall off. You know, that way we have control over how they're maintained. And, you know, the last minivan we turned in when we bought the next car had, I think, 250,000 miles on it. So, you know, that's the way to get the most out of it financially, I think, is, again, buy and hold for a long time. You know, in terms of the extended warranties, you will find a lot of mixed opinions on this. I mean, you know, the downside is they're expensive. They don't cover all the repairs. You can be limited in access to approved repair providers, and you may not use it. You know, if you're maintaining it, cars last a lot longer than they have in the past these days. I would say, you know, the benefit is you can buy it after the fact. You don't have to buy it all up front, and it might give you peace of mind. So it really comes down to kind of what your thoughts are as you consider this purchase. I want to get your take on all that. So stay right there. We'll pick it up on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Learning University.
That wasn't stereo right there, fellas.
that's jumbled. Good.
We were struggling.
The bumblebee was called the humblebee. Is that true?
Chicken legs are also called drumsticks.
Yeah, that's not a good ice cream flavor. They've got some little tiny saddles that they put on those dragons. Unfortunately, you can only ride them once.
Because then they turn around and take your leg off.
Hey, Andrew, you want to ask it?
I'm so excited about getting on. I missed my exit.
Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Hey, if you'd like to have a source to help you on your stewardship journey, all the best content, and a community of stewards to encourage you along the way, well, you'll find that in the FaithFi app. You'll find it in your app store, or you can learn more about it at faithfi.com. Just click the app button, and you'll find everyday new articles, podcasts, videos to encourage you along the way with biblical financial wisdom, and in our community, new questions being posted every day that you can learn from, perhaps contribute to the conversation and get answers to your own questions. So check it out, faithfi.com. Just click app. All right, back to the phones we go. Just before this break, we were talking to Lynn in Oregon. She was asking about purchasing new or used and whether or not it's wise to consider an extended warranty. And Lynn, I would say, again, start with your budget. Buy the car you can afford. My typical approach for most folks is buy a newer used car, perhaps 2 to 3 years old, where you miss some of the depreciation, and then run it for a long time. If it gives you added peace of mind to buy new, it's not a bad time to buy new, given that those prices are stabilizing quicker than used cars now that some of the inventories are being replenished. But again, I think the key is buy it, drive it for a long time, maintain it really well. I'm mixed on extended warranties. They are expensive, and a lot of times they go unused, especially if you're maintaining the car well. But if it gives you added peace of mind and it fits the budget, certainly nothing wrong with offsetting that risk. But give me your thoughts.
Well, I'm blessed to probably be able to buy new, and I could afford to just pay for it, so I wouldn't have to worry about
That's
payments.
Great. Yeah.
Yes, that's a great blessing. And I'm thinking new just because that cost difference, and because my car does not run, I'm kind of, in a little bit of a, I don't have a car that I can use very well. But what if I do get the extended warranty, do you suggest then waiting or just calling to see what the various prices are if I were to wait till that new one is out? And if I do, is there a source that I can go to kind of compare them? Is there one that I'm sure there's variety of quality and reliability of the company? How easy are they to get a hold of, and what kind of do they stand behind what they say?
Yeah. Very good. You can, your car, your cost
is likely going to go up. And so if you know that's what you're going to do and you do that on the front end, you can save some money without question. You're not going to be paying for double coverage. It will kick in right at the end of your manufacturer's warranty. You can, of course, wait and get it down the road, but it's often, you're able to do it up front and save a little bit of money. I would go with the manufacturer's extended warranty if it were me, just because that way you know you're dealing with the manufacturer, you know you can bring it back to a service center that is from your, car company and, have it repaired right there with guaranteed genuine parts and guaranteed work. So I would, actually purchase it from the original manufacturer if it were me.
You mean from, because it comes with a manufacturer warranty, but then this would be a secondary source.
That's well, they would sell you an extended warranty rather than you going out to a third party to do that. So you can buy an extended warranty from the original manufacturer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like it just kind of depends on what you feel comfortable with.
I think that's right, but I do think there's something to be said about the fact that right now, new cars are more in play than I would say they were pre-pandemic, just because we're starting to see the prices moderate, and as these inventories are building, car dealers are more interested in moving cars than they ever have been because, we're coming off of this situation where they just had very little inventory, and so they were waiting really for top dollar, whereas now we're starting to see more cars flowing through these dealerships, so they have a little bit more incentive to work with you on these new cars, especially if you were to buy an extended warranty, because those are big money makers for them. But if that gives you added peace of mind, I could certainly understand why you'd want to do it. I just wouldn't want you to go to a third party where you may have limited repair shops you can work with. It may not cover everything you're looking for. I'd rather you get it from that original manufacturer. Hey, all the best to you as you consider this, Lynn. We appreciate you checking with us. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. Also, in the next segment of the broadcast, our friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, has a long tenure on Wall Street, managing billions and billions of dollars, a frequent contributor to Fox Business, and Bob will weigh in on what he's watching as we start a new week in the markets. All right, let's head to Mississippi. Sharon, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I volunteer at a local nonprofit ministry and recently inherited the bookkeeping job. And in the process of updating the signature cards at the banks, the one bank told me that we really should consider fraud insurance for our account that is set up to receive PayPal donations. It would be $15 a month, and I wanted to know your opinion of fraud insurance.
Yeah. And is that something they would offer to you as an add-on to your account?
Yes, they would offer it, and it would be an additional $15 a month. I might add, in this account, I would doubt that it would ever go over $5,000 because we transfer it to another account where it is, used for the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm a little surprised by that. I mean, I would hope that they would offer some of those protections without any extra charge, just as a normal part of what they're offering to their customers. Now, business fraud insurance protects your business against financial losses from unauthorized, actions of so-called trusted third parties. So that's embezzlement, robbery, theft, fraud, forgery, fraudulent orders, things like that. It can come from inside or outside. And so I would talk to whoever handles your insurance for the organization just to make sure you have the proper coverages. But in terms of this specific account, I would ask them why they're going to charge you something extra for that. And, you know, it may be a time to shop around just to see if you might want to move your business elsewhere where they provide that kind of service, you know, as a normal and customary part of what the offering is to their customers. It doesn't sound like, obviously, an inordinate amount. So $15, a month is going to be $180 a year. I mean, for the added protection, I think that's probably worth it. But I would just go back to them and say, what kind of protections do I have right now against fraud? And then what would this give me that I don't have currently? And then you said they're specifically mentioning PayPal as a part of this. Is that right?
Yeah, the account, we have two accounts at that bank, but one is specifically to receive PayPal payments. Okay. So that we're not mixing online donations with our other accounts that we do business out of.
Yeah. And that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, PayPal is a secure third party, payment processor. It's subject to fraud just like anybody else. But I think, they do a lot of business. They have, the highest security and safeguards of any of them. And so I don't think I would do anything different from PayPal, but I'd start with asking, what do you currently have and what will this give you? Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show beginning April 24th on AFR.net. I'll serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. The podcast begins April 24th on AFR.net, and I can hardly wait. See you there.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Every day, FaithFi is working to meet people right where they are. Through our national radio program, app, and website, we're helping people put their faith in God and not in money and possessions. And we're encouraging and equipping Christians to have a passionate pursuit for sacrificially living and giving the money entrusted to them. If you believe in and have benefited from FaithFi, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Learn more about the FaithFi patrons membership at faithfi.com and click Give.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. You know, our hope on this program each day is that we can encourage you, be hopeful, bring you a positive program each day rooted in Scripture. We're not trying to get rich quick here. We're not trying to even just help you build wealth and then tack a few Bible verses on top. We want to start with our identity in Christ, our recognition that God owns it all and that He's enough and that we have an abundance before even the first dollar, and that we should seek first the kingdom, and that God is our provider and money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. And then we move out from that identity rooted in Christ to the principles that we see in God's Word that we can pull out of Scripture, a part of those big themes and ideas that we see in God's Word, and then ultimately the practical application of those principles to our everyday decisions. That's our objective here on this program, and it's a privilege to serve you each day. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. We were talking a little earlier in the program about extended car warranties, and Johnny in Oklahoma, sounds like you have a comment on that. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I was purchasing a vehicle a few years ago for my wife, and the manufacturer's warranty was just getting ready to run out whenever I bought it. We had a few months, a few thousand miles left on it when we bought it. And instead of buying the extended warranty through the dealership, which was a manufacturer's extended warranty,
yeah,
I called directly to Ford and got it through them cheaper because the dealerships are allowed to mark up the manufacturer's warranty when they sell it.
Yes, yes. Well, that's so a good word. You can buy those from the dealer, but to your point, not only can you buy them from the dealer, you can buy them directly from that vehicle manufacturer, and it sounds like that allowed you to save some money, huh?
The dealership was $4,500 for the extended warranty, and the exact same extended warranty through the manufacturer when I called them direct was $2,800.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big savings. Did you end up going ahead
Absolutely.
With it, Johnny?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And just to save people money, a lot of people don't know it, but yes, they are allowed to mark up those extended warranties, even though they're from the manufacturer.
Yeah, that's great. Now, let me ask you this. In hindsight, how long ago was that?
That was in 2019.
Okay. And have you used it? Do you feel like now, 4 years later, that it was worthwhile?
Most times I don't, but in this case, we had a timing chain problem on the vehicle 4 months after we bought it.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, so, you know, I think that really sums this one up, is that it can go both ways without question. They tend to be expensive, as you've heard Johnny say. And yet, if you need them, especially if you can go right back to the dealer and get genuine parts and guaranteed work, they can pay for themselves for sure. But, if you're maintaining your car and you don't have any of these big repaired items, you may get to the end of it and say, man, did I really need to spend all that money? What if I just put that $2,800 in a high yield savings account and just let it sit there to see if I need it? And, you know, you can come out on either side of this. But I appreciate that advice. You may have just saved some of our listeners thousands of dollars there, Johnny. So we appreciate you weighing on the program, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Quick email. These come into us every day at askrob@faithfi.com. This one comes from Brian. He says, I'm working on a budget for a family of five. Do you have some current estimates on a weekly budget for groceries and household expenses? We're spending over $2,300 a month for groceries and household items. And I know that sounds like a lot, but I'll tell you, folks, it is more common than you might imagine, given where the prices are right now for groceries in particular. Brian goes on to say, how would you recommend reducing this expense? Ideally, and this is just budget guidelines, I realize this can vary widely depending on where you shop and what part of the country you're in and all of that. But your monthly food costs ideally should be about 12% of your budget. So that would be about half of what you're currently doing right now, a little more than half, around $1,300 for your family. I realize you may not be able to get there, and so that's just a starting point. At the end of the day, the budget just has to balance, right? We only have 100%, and that 100% should include some margin so we can fund those longer-term goals. But that 12% number of your budget, I think, Brian, is a great starting point. To keep costs down, I would just say work up a monthly meal plan. List the items you need for those recipes. Do your shopping and stick to the list. Avoid eating out or getting takeout. Look for sale items. You know, look for those BOGO, buy one, get one offers. Use coupons, buy in bulk when possible, but make sure it's something you're going to use it. If you get a huge amount and you don't end up going through it and it expires, then you haven't really served yourself very well. And then just recognize without constant discipline, food costs will get out of line in a hurry now more than ever. Also, take your lunch to work. That can be a budget buster as well. But hopefully that's helpful to you, Brian. We appreciate you being a part of the program today. If you have a question, we'd love for you to send it along to askrob@faithfi.com. All right, it's Monday, which means our good friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Cross Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. And Bob, here we are at the start of a new week, and the market's about flat. What are you watching this week?
Earnings, Rob. It's a heavy earnings season, and a lot of companies are reporting. It's very early, but on balance, reasonably good news. I guess the theme I would add to that is a lot of companies are saying, well, January was really good, March not so much. So yes. a decline in the results as the quarters progress, which may portend for a slower second quarter.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bob, we got the headline CPI and inflation. It was down, obviously. That's the good news. Obviously, it's still high, and all eyes are on the Fed as they have their meeting coming up. But what did you make of the inflation data we got last week?
Yeah, as you just put it, mixed. The good news, it fell as most of us thought, but it's still way too high. I mean, you know, five handle on inflation is not where we want to be. More importantly, it's not where the Fed wants to be, so they have more work to do. Most, including us, are arguing in their meeting early May, absent some big development here in the next 3 weeks, they will raise rates yet one more time to 5% and then maybe pause for the rest of the year.
Yeah, very good. Are you surprised that we're up on the year, Bob?
Yeah, in some ways I am, but you know, I can be really critical of how we're up. The average stock is not up.
Yeah.
In the first quarter, to make the point, over half the gain, 54% to be precise, of the gain in the S&P came from three stocks, Apple, Nvidia, and Microsoft. The other 497 canceled each other out. Yes. 95% of the gain came from 10 stocks.
Wow.
So it's one of the narrowest market we've ever seen. If you own those stocks, you've done fine. If you haven't, it's kind of ho-hum.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Bob, obviously all eyes this summer are going to be on the debt ceiling debate. House Speaker McCarthy addressing the topic today at the NYSE. You know, he's really going to advocate for some serious negotiations. Of course, the president is going to push back on that. Where do you think this is going to land? And what do you make of this debate as it begins?
Well, we're going to have a lot of headlines, a lot of cross currents, probably a lot of mixed emotions. And at the end of the day, I hope I'm right when I say we cannot have a default on U.S. debt, so that they have to come to terms. But Rob, it could be in the 11th hour, the 12th hour, maybe 13th or 14th yeah. hour, and that could create some fireworks. Part of the problem is not just Democrats versus Republicans. Within each party, there are a bunch of factions, so it's really hard for the leaders, in this case McCarthy, to really represent all the Republicans. This could be a messy process.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I did see some clips over the weekend of Ronald Reagan's visit to the floor in 1985. I mean, he was really pushing for restraint on spending. And here we are, decades later, and it seems like it's just running wild. Is that just as big of a problem as it seems?
Yes, decades later and trillions of dollars of debt yeah. later, too, Rob. And that's part of the problem. It's it's part of our system. You know, presidents have a 4-year time frame, senators a 6-year, representatives 2 years. Nobody's thinking 10 and 20 years. And so spend it now, worry about, or let somebody else worry about paying it off later. This is a problem, and we're at the point now, as you and I have talked in the past, where interest expense is moving up. Prior to this, we had debt going up, but interest rates falling. So not a big deal. Now, the free lunches, we're going to have to pay the piper.
Yeah, debt mortgage is the future, and we're certainly seeing that play out. All right, Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, take care. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can sign up for his weekly commentary called Dahl's Deliberations when you visit crossmarkglobal.com. Jane in Oregon, I know you had a question you wanted to ask about Plaid, the a financial information aggregator. They work with PayPal. Unfortunately, we're out of time today, but we'll see if Pat can get your number and we'll get you back on the program tomorrow, because it's a great question about the safety of using Plaid, which sits on top of so many of our apps like PayPal. Even American Express uses Plaid. We use Plaid here for the FaithFi app. We can talk about that. We'd love to weigh in on it. All right, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. So thankful to have you along with us today. Let me say thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. On the phones today, Pat Montague, our producer and engineer, Devin Patrick, helping me with research today, Mr. Robert Sutherland. So grateful you were along with us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll hope you come back and join us tomorrow. Same time, same place. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.